Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Chad here, your hosts for this weekend edition. Also, your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Now, this week, we covered a lot of actually company updates, talked a little bit about how the markets were moving during, even before and after that Fed statement, along with a lot of other central banks that met this week. On this weekend show, though, we're going to pay a little bit more attention to the resource and commodity sector and also look at more the macro environment, not so much the, I guess, day-to-day swings or even week-to-week swings that we have seen for markets. We are kicking off the show with Brian Lenny, founder and editor of the Junior Stock Review website. Now, Brian, it's been a while since we last had you on the show. We do chat with you on a pretty regular basis, but a lot of the time we don't even record stuff. We just talk about the markets, talk about some of the companies that you're following. Since it's been such a while, I wanted to get you back on the show. Let all of our listeners know what you're seeing out there, starting with kind of the macro environment here, where the markets went through around a 10-plus month bear market and then rebounded for about now a 10-month bull market. Haven't taken back all of those losses, but it's been one of those environments where everything has moved higher. We've even had comments from the gold community saying, look, gold's done well in this time, but hasn't outperformed the market. So still kind of stuck in that overall trend here. Brian, what's your takeaway from this macro environment for investors?
Thanks for having me, Corey. It's tough. It's a super tough environment out there right now, especially when you look at the interest in the resource sector, and you can kind of delve down into the juniors and even the producing companies. It just doesn't seem to be there. That despite, you know, some pretty good metal prices across the board, whether it's gold, silver, even copper hanging around $4, you know, is still in a pretty good spot when you look at the spectrum of producers across there and who's making money at $4. The disinterest in the sector is definitely troubling, and I think is, you know, part of the reason why the juniors have, their valuations have languished so much. You know, one of the things that we were talking about before is this idea of increasing free cash flow, these higher metal prices, you know, gold companies in particular, and how really we've just seen free cash flow kind of move horizontal, meaning that it's kind of just staying constant even though the metal price is moving up. And this, of course, is due to inflation across a number of different things, but probably oil being one of the bigger ones. And really, oil, if you look at the oil price right now, that's hanging around just below $80 per barrel, in my view, is probably pretty cheap considering my outlook for oil moving forward. So maybe that's even worse when you project margins forward, unless the gold price or any of these other commodity prices sort of move with it, which, you know, they most likely will. So, you know, in the future, you know, I certainly don't like to get too aggressive in my future projections for metal prices. I tend to be more conservative from that perspective. But I think for sentiment to come back and for investors to come back in full force, I think you're probably going to need to see a dislocation in to the upside, meaning higher metal prices that exceed that which inflation, you know, keeping margins where they are right now, and that or the rest of the economy is really pushed to the brink in terms of, you know, the cost of capital, the cost of oil, and how that inputs into their business. But you know what, like this inflationary setting that we're in, whether it be the electrification of the world, more social programs, meaning higher taxes, all these costs, even though the Fed may blow things up with these interest rate hikes and eventually crash the market, I still see an inflationary environment in the future, and it'll be really interesting to see how it all breaks down.
Yeah, Brian, boy, will it ever. We are in really wild times because we are seeing an inflationary environment, and it is pulling back some, but granted, from much higher levels in most products and services, but there still are disjointed supply chain issues. There still is a lot of, you know, like you're saying, new capital, new money being created that's fueling inflation at the same time as central banks are hiking. And if there is that recession that you mentioned, if they do end up causing an economic contraction, how do you see the commodities faring through this, and would precious metals diverge from other commodities, in your opinion?
In my view, I think it'll be sort of the same thing we've seen, whether it be 2020 or, you know, not really 2016, maybe 2008 being the other best example, where you basically see everything kind of be affected in the short term. But then you see things like the gold market, you know, push forward, because I think what doesn't change is what governments and central banks do to quell the chaos. And that, of course, is QE, and low interest rates. And I don't think this time is different. The only difference might be, you know, the advent of the CBDCs and how those are brought into use. You know, for most of us, I think we're basically playing with digital money as it is. Most of us use a credit card or a debit card to make most of our purchases. So the digital world is here. But the CBDCs and how they're introduced, you know, maybe that's part and parcel of what a crash or, you know, how things are dealt with. So in the short term, I think everything is affected. I think precious metals are the first ones to move out of it, like we've seen in past sort of crash or like recession type scenarios. But then, you know, if we're going to continue forward with all these other initiatives like electrification, copper, nickel, cobalt, lithium, like all these things are going to have to come back to some degree, I think anyways. And I think, you know, invariably it leads to higher metal prices in the future, just for all those things that we already talked about. And there's a number of things like no mining in my backyard or these other type of social issues that go along with mining that, again, are inflationary to the metal prices, kind of regardless of where demand might be.
Now, Brian, since you went to that whole electrification narrative, as we progress through this, look, we hear from some commentators that because of this build-out, we're going to have much higher demand, which leads to much higher prices if we're planning on building just as many, let's say, charging stations as the world needs, and that can cause just this major bull market. Do you subscribe to that, or do you also think that, look, the world keeps adapting, so if any one of these commodities gets too expensive, well, there are advancements that can be made to lessen the dependence on that commodity.
I'm definitely on the latter. Again, I don't know if I'm just naturally more conservative in my outlook, or, you know, I've definitely learned from being too bullish on any one commodity and what price it might head to. I think if we're going to see huge spikes in metal prices that are sustained, I think it's going to be across the board and everything in our life is going to cost more. So invariably, you know, if copper is $8, I think everything else moves up kind of incrementally with it. And so really that spike doesn't mean as much. I think the latter of what you said, that, you know, when things do spike, I think usually in my experience, they're more short term in nature, and somehow the market finds a way to deal with it. You know, whether that be, you know, instead of these high nickel batteries or any of these like long range battery chemistries, I think they get pushed aside for the LFP. There's a number of different ways I think the market can deal with higher prices. And I think it's sort of naive. Or maybe not even naive. I think it's, you know, more salesman type narrative when you just talk about things going to the moon. And I think people need to take heed to, you know, people that are talking too crazy about where prices are headed, because in my experience, like, you can definitely have prices spike, but they're very rarely sustained. And again, if they are sustained, that just means everything else is being sustained higher too. And so it's sort of a wash and plays into that, you know, the margins, even though everything's gone up, the margins stay the same or eroded. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because this is one of those major paradigm shifts that we're seeing across the world.
So true, Brian. This really does seem like a paradigm shift, but we also do need to at least protect ourselves against those predicting just sky-high prices, because, as you said, we've been there before, seen it before. Everyone stick around. We are going to be right back with Brian Lenny.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. We're continuing to chat with Brian Lenny, founder and editor of the Junior Stock Review website. Now, Brian, look, we've had a number of people come on and make the comment that mining companies are making money, so investors should be following kind of those profitable, cash-flowing companies. However, margins, as much as prices are higher, especially for gold, margins haven't exactly increased because costs have gone up as well. So carrying that through to that whole concept of what will bring in new investors, what do you think it'll be, Brian? What does attract new investors into the sector?
I think first it depends on the commodity or the metal. I think something like precious metals, maybe in particular gold. I think the narrative surrounding it has the potential to drive people to it. And what I mean by that is, and this doesn't necessarily have to happen, but there's a lot of talk about the BRICS and this new trade currency that's backed by gold. I'm really skeptical whether that's going to happen and you know, whether being backed by gold, what that actually means. But I think with whatever happens, more and more people are going to be questioning what the monetary system is all about and, you know, what fiat currency is all about. And I think when you start asking those questions, I think you invariably get to the importance of real money, and that being gold, in my view. And I think something like that, and once people start realizing the shortfalls of CBDCs and the controls government can have, I think that's could be a driver of precious metals, you know, and it doesn't necessarily take those huge margins to capture attention, although I think that would help. Because, you know, I look back at myself, you know, how did I get into junior mining? Well, it was rooted in learning about monetary policy and learning about precious metals. And invariably, that led me to junior mining stocks. So I very much see that, you know, especially the younger generation, if they start doing some research, you know, just like with Bitcoin, I think invariably that could lead them to the right answers, and having gold as a part of their portfolio, as maybe far-fetched as that might seem right now, I do think that could be a driver. But in saying that, I think the metal prices, in particular gold, we could see a spike higher, because I think it's going to be more and more important as this paradigm shift happens. And again, I don't know when or exactly how, but I do think there's going to be a transition where gold becomes more prevalent in the mainstream narrative, and that could be the driver. But you know, it's kind of chicken and the egg, which comes first? What is the actual driver? I'm not totally sure, but I think that could be the case with the base metals. Again, like when you have something as strong as, you know, electrification and what that means worldwide, like really we're just on that very beginning part of this huge change. And I think it's going to be a rocky one, because I think what you're going to see first is the impact of the fossil fuels and oil in particular. And whether it's, you know, high oil prices driving people to the battery, like electric vehicles, and, you know, the batteries becoming a bigger part of our everyday life, that becomes, you know, a bigger driver. But then you have all those other things that we just talked about in the previous question and how those kind of interplay. But like I said, depends on the metal. And I think for gold in particular, that would be where, you know, I'm particularly bullish on, just because of all the stuff that's going on worldwide. And I think people are going to start asking more questions about where we are and where we're headed as a society.
So if you think there could be a spike in the gold price coming that could draw in more people, what kind of spike do we need? Because a lot of the time periods that a lot of the gold bugs refer to or when gold went up 7 times, even 10 times, what needs to happen to the gold price from levels, let's say, just around 1900 to draw people in?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, and it's the obvious question. I'm reluctant to answer it just because, you know, the predictions, like I know how wrong I could be. Again, instead of picking a price and how high it needs to go, I would say it's maybe a better comparison to say, what is the difference between it and other things have to be, is maybe the better comparison. And so I would just say is, you know, the diversion between, I don't know if it's the U.S. dollar, but, you know, fiat currency and gold kind of separate, and more people understand the shortfalls, you know, of this paper or these fiat currencies, I think it becomes, you know, that much more important. And so moving forward, you know, I think if gold moved by $500 an ounce, or let's say $300 an ounce, I think it would grab a lot of attention. And while that might not be, you know, a 30% move, I think it's pretty significant, especially if it happened in a very short duration of time. And again, I'm not totally sure what that catalyst might be for it to spike like that. But I think, you know, you hit $2,200, $2,300. I think there's a lot of eyeballs that start looking and, you know, start asking those questions. And that might be enough to sort of tip the market. But again, we could go on like we are today for a prolonged period of time. And over the course of my investing career, I have had more years like this that are horizontal than I have, you know, in those euphoric sort of bull market type moments.
Yeah. Very much for you, kind of no-brainers, in which I would carry over to maybe the higher margin projects. Is that fair to say that even in these inflationary times when margins really haven't gone anywhere, when metals prices have gone up a lot, you're sticking more to these higher margin assets?
This is certainly, yeah. You know, if you're able to stick to the best of the best, like really pick out the projects that have, that stand out, that are in those like first quartile costs where, you know, and if the economic study isn't that old and, or if you're able to model it yourself, if you can stick in those first quartile cost structures, and usually that's the higher grade stuff or, you know, the stuff that's got great metallurgy, I think you got the right management team in there. And yeah, those are definitely things you can make money. It's maybe not a 10 bagger, because usually that value is sort of recognized across, but that'll protect you. I think for some of the other projects, like as you kind of move down the, maybe the quality or the economics of the project, you need some of those other X factors or things that are going to change to make that project a little bit better. Like using FPX again as an example, one of the things with metallurgy and the simplicity of it, and why a high grade concentrate, which was the goal, and why a high grade concentrate was going to be such a big deal, you know, for transportation out of central BC to a port, but the ability to not only feed the stainless steel market, but potentially feed the battery market too, which, you know, they've basically shown that they can now. Like these are big items that the market probably didn't give any value to. And on the other side, maybe FPX is, you know, it's a much lower grade nickel project. But if you looked at the whole thing on scale and you said, you know, how big it is, these kind of intangibles that it has, it really sticks out. But you really had to look at it and think about it, because if you just looked at it 4 years ago or 5 years ago, I can see why a lot of people skipped over it. So again, like I think, you know, you stick to the best of the best, and that definitely puts you in the right quartile of investments to hold. But then there are all these, some of these other companies where the investment thesis maybe not be as clear, but they've got some catalysts that are going to come in the next few years. And if you're confident management can do it, it can really pay itself back. And I've had a number of those in my portfolio over the years.
Some of those add just that extra torque to the upside, but hey, they can be hard to isolate. And I think your comments on picking the good stocks and actually riding them out, not getting distracted by some of these flashy ones, that's longer term investing, right? But hey, Brian, I really appreciate reading over your newsletter, and I appreciate the tact that you take with the stocks that you cover and your disciplined approach. Hey, Brian, we'll chat again next month. Maybe we'll record something, maybe not, but I'm glad we got something done this month. So thank you very much for all your time, and everyone be sure to check out Brian's website, The Junior Stock Review.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
News update. In the headlines this hour, Republicans running for president gathering for the annual GOP Lincoln Dinner in Des Moines, Iowa. 13 2024 presidential candidates speaking at the event. Five people have been shot at a community gathering in Seattle last night. The violence happening in a supermarket parking lot. Police say two gunmen firing dozens of rounds into the crowd. Severe storms rolling through the Midwest yesterday, a tornado hitting in central Iowa, and a hailstorm reported in Nebraska. For the first time publicly, President Biden acknowledging his seventh grandchild, Navy.
The president released a statement saying his granddaughter is not a political issue and her parents are working to foster a relationship that is in the best interest of their daughter. He ended by saying he and Jill Biden only want what is best for all of our grandchildren, including Navy. I'm Jim Forbes.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are now shifting our focus a little bit more to the resource sectors. We are chatting with Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Now, Matt, I want to start off with the royalty market here because, look, royalty companies, they've actually been doing broadly quite well, especially the big ones, and we have seen a general consolidation over the last couple years of all those new royalty companies. Some of them have been swallowed up, mostly by the bigger guys, and royalty companies, we always hear that it's usually a good environment for these companies to make transactions, especially in markets like now where there's very little money available to exploration companies, even to development companies. In terms of recent royalty market transactions, where have you been focused?
Good to be back on the program, Corey. Thanks for having me. Yeah, the royalty market continues to see quite a few transactions here. When we last spoke at the end of June, it was right on the heels, I believe, of a Cisco Royalties $15 million royalty purchase of Hot Chili's Costa Fuego project in Chile. Since then, we've seen multiple, and I should note, copper-focused royalty acquisitions. If there's one thing that's standing out to me in the past few months, it's the number of these deals that have been copper-focused. One example is Royal Gold and their participation in the ACG SPAC deal, which involved the two assets, Santa Rita and Cerro Norte, sold by private equity firm Appian out of London, which we discussed, I think, in pretty good detail on the last call. Kind of hidden in that agreement, you'll see that Royal Gold acquired a copper royalty that is valued at $40 million. So there's one example right there within the past month. Just yesterday, in fact, we saw Ecora, diversified, non-precious metal diversified royalty company out of London, acquire a 0.25% royalty at Los Andes Vizcachitas project in Chile for US $20 million. This is actually, interestingly, this is a good read through for Nova Royalties, and I should note that is a holding of the MJG partnership. Nova already holds what's in effect a 0.5% royalty at Vizcachitas, which they purchased in early 2021 for roughly US $15 million, if I'm not mistaken. If you go off of the price just paid by Ecora, we're looking like that royalty is worth $40 million US, or a little bit over $50 million Canadian, a substantial chunk of Nova's current market capitalization. So I think that was positive for Nova specifically, and also a good show of faith in Chile and the direction that country's going. After quite a few concerns earlier in the Boric administration. Also within Chile, we just saw Elemental Altus within the past couple weeks increase their royalty stake at Lundin Mining's operating Caserones mine. This has to have been the second or third time that Elemental has come in and incrementally increased their stake over this asset. And as noted in previous discussions of ours, quite a few royalty companies do have exposure to Caserones, including EMX, including Franco Nevada, including Sandstorm, and then Elemental Altus.
Well, Matt, when you think about royalty companies as part of your portfolio, maybe just unpack why you like the business model. Some people hear it, snub their nose, and think I'd rather be in an individual miner because there's a little more torque to individual mining companies or even development or exploration stage companies. But there's also some positives to the royalty business model. Maybe just share with the listeners why you think it's a good spot to have a few of these tucked into your portfolio.
Sure, Chad, and that's absolutely right. I mean, towards the end of a given mining cycle, you're going to see the miners outperform. I do firmly believe that. But it's also very, very difficult to time these cycles. So if you have a crystal ball and you're able to time exactly where metal prices take off again, you can sit in cash and then deploy into producers and use their maximum torque. That said, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Just look at the performance of royalty companies over the past two decades. You know, the industry really only started to gain traction in the early 2000 period. And, you know, in the past two decades, we've seen royalty companies really dominate the precious metal space in particular. And, the combined market capitalization of companies focused on precious metal royalties is in the $60 to $70 billion threshold. So the business model has truly blossomed over these past two decades. And I mean, it's a beautiful model. Mining is an extremely capital intensive business. It's an extremely risky business, particularly if you're placing bets on specific projects. And so a well-managed royalty company, you can gain exposure with one vehicle to multiple assets in multiple jurisdictions with varied operators. And so you can diversify your risk quite easily.
So for investors looking at the royalty space, as I mentioned over the last about, let's say, 4, 5, even 6 years, there were a lot of new royalty companies, a lot of tiny royalty companies. But if you go through a lot of the stock charts here, it's the big royalty companies that have held up better and even outperformed in this tougher environment for resource investors. Are you more focused on the larger royalty companies, or do you go down into some of these smaller guys that have mostly royalties that aren't paying out right now, exploration royalties? They don't have the same type of cash flow that the big guys do.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the latter. In fact, the largest royalty company that we own, at least by market cap, and I've talked about the name publicly, so I'm okay sharing it, is Altius Minerals at roughly $1 billion Canadian market cap. In fact, by market capitalization, that's the largest position within our portfolio, period. So the rest of our royalty positions, and there are four or five others, are all sub 1 billion. So the junior sandbox is where we play within MJG. But obviously you have to keep a much closer eye, on these given positions. And, you know, for investors that want to, you know, buy a name and forget about it, it would make sense to look towards the Francos or the Altius Minerals to be fair of the world, groups that have shown to be excellent stewards of capital over multiple cycles. The royalty investments are one of the true buy and hold opportunities within the mining space, and there aren't many others. I guess within the royalty space, a couple areas that I'm attracted to would be the royalty companies that are focused on non-precious metals. It's always seemed like a staggering disconnect to me that the combined market capitalization of precious metal focused royalty companies is in the, you know, 60 to 70 billion US dollar range, as I mentioned. Where if you look at the royalty companies focused on everything but precious metals, we're talking 8, 9, 10 billion all told. And that really is turned on its head from my perspective. If you look at the total value of metals pulled out of the ground in a given year, precious metals only account for roughly 20% of that total value. So I do actually think there's opportunity within the names like Altius, you know, like Nova Royalty, which has been a long time holding of ours, that are focused outside of the precious metals. And then I also like the royalty companies. And to date, I would say this conviction hasn't played out yet, but I do think the royalty companies that have the in-house capacity to organically generate new royalty interests really stand out. And, you know, there are quite a few junior royalty companies, you know, and a couple dozen royalty companies in total going all the way to the largest names. And really only five of these groups have the ability to use geological expertise in-house to go out and stake ground, bring in partners, and then clip off a royalty, rinse and repeat. You know, groups I'm referencing include Altius Minerals, you know, the Elemental Altuses of the world, EMX Royalties, Origin. You know, each of these are groups that come to mind.
All right, Matt, great recap of the royalty space as it lies right now. We're out of time for this segment, but everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Matt Geiger.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
All right, we're back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to chat with Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Now, Matt, we spent a lot of time talking about royalty companies in the last segment. Let's go one step down the food chain to the prospect generators, because there have been a couple prospect generators that have successfully optioned off their projects, and those projects turned into mines where they still held some sort of a royalty through that original option deal. You made a couple of comments last show, a couple shows ago, that you thought that a catalyst for the sector could be some of these smaller royalty companies going down the food chain and acquiring these prospect generators. You still think this is possible here, Matt?
That's right. I do think that's, if there is a potential catalyst floating out there to energize the prospect generation space, I continue to believe that that will be these hungry junior royalty companies and even some of the larger guys coming way upstream and purchasing the royalty portfolios of prospect generators. You know, there are really only about 40, 45 prospect generators out there globally. Some of these are executing the model in its pure form. Other of these are hybrid generators. Other of these are royalty companies with active prospect generation capacity, but I'll put the total number at around 40. And it's extremely unloved at the moment, this industry. It's been out of, or this niche of the industry, I should say. It's been out of favor for really at least 20 years. But with that comes quite a bit of opportunity in my opinion. Quite a few of these groups have large working capital positions relative to their market capitalization, so very low enterprise values. And then, as you mentioned, quite a few of them have hidden pre-production royalty portfolios that are kind of sitting in the portfolio unrecognized and unappreciated by the broader market. But again, the royalty space is extremely competitive, especially amongst the junior names. And I think this is a good hunting ground, so to speak, for these these 100 million, you know, plus junior royalty players to broaden their pre-production royalty pipelines. So a couple examples of deals that we've seen. This would have been back in 2021, fall of 2021. Almadex Minerals sold a royalty over the Elk gold mine in BC to Star Royalties for $10 million U.S. And then more recently, we've seen prospect generator Eagle Plains spin out its royalty portfolio into a new entity called Eagle Royalties. And we are shareholders of Eagle Plains, have been since the fall of 2021. When we first bought Eagle Plains shares, in my mind, we were getting the royalties entirely for free. I mean, the company at that point had a $4 million enterprise value, $5 million enterprise value, and active partnership. So I assigned all value to the partnerships, viewed the royalties as coming for free. Sure enough, Eagle Plains has since spun out the royalties into a single vehicle. And the Eagle Royalties company valued at around 12 million Canadian. So we're talking about 60% of Eagle Plains' current valuation. So, you know, that could be an opportunity for other prospect generators to do. With that said, I don't think the world needs more royalty companies, especially more precious metal focused. So my advice to PGs would be to at least explore the possibility of, you know, selling the royalties off in a piecemeal fashion. And, you know, if a larger royalty company is willing to come down and write a healthy check for a single royalty, at least consider that. So we haven't seen quite the volume of deals that I've maybe anticipated between junior royalty companies and prospect generators, but I still believe it's coming.
Yeah, to your point, right? We don't need more companies. So let's not encourage everybody to spin out a couple royalties and start up another company. Matt, let's also talk about a site visit or a couple site visits that you were just on in Brazil. Talk about more Brazil broadly, how you view Brazil as a jurisdiction, especially compared to the rest of South America.
Sure. Well, that's definitely a longer conversation, but I can touch on some of Brazil's strengths and weaknesses as a mineral jurisdiction. I guess first, as it pertains to the site visit, I'm just back from a couple weeks down in Brazil and was able to visit the projects of two MJG partnership holdings. Both of them I've written about publicly, and you'll see updates in the MJG partnership letter that should be out by the time that this interview airs at mjgcapital.com. I was able to visit Bravo Mining's Luanga project, and then a few days later, Lara Exploration's Plan Alto project, where they have a partnership deal with Capstone, and it's a really beautiful deal from a Lara perspective, a true 30% free carry through first production, so they do not have to put up another cent until metal's being pulled out of the ground there. Both very interesting site visits. I know you've been on quite a few yourself, Corey. Oftentimes in this industry, especially when you're focused on the junior space, you'll go out and visit, and there's not much to see. Sure, there's plenty to gather. You get a lay of the land. You get to see infrastructure. You know, you get to hear from the geologists why they're excited about specific targets. But oftentimes you won't see a drill turning. In this case, at both projects, at Luanga, there were four rigs turning the day that we were on site. And at Plan Alto, there were three, while a fourth was under maintenance, but coming back to site soon. So a lot of activity, and that's always fun to see. Both of these projects, similarities between the two companies, and from an asset level perspective, they're quite different. But geographically, they're within about an hour and a half of each other, right in the heart of the Carajás mining district within Brazil's Pará state. And I think if you're investing in Brazil in mining, that is the place to be. That's where, you know, Vale grew up into, you know, it's a global mining champion, fourth largest miner globally. A lot of support for mining in the area. The ground is already disturbed through agriculture and livestock, so we're not talking about cutting down, you know, virgin forests. Good mining infrastructure, access to labor, access to services. So that's really the place to be within Brazil. You know, other similarities between the two companies are the quality of the people. I trust each of the management teams intimately, and you know, that's always essential for my investment criteria. So it's a good visit. I mean, you know, more broadly for Brazil, I'd say a few of the key advantages would just be, I mean, visiting just really emphasized the sheer scale of the country. We're talking about the fifth largest country in the world, about 6% of global land mass. Just being that big provides a credible amount of diversity of geological domains to work with. And as a result, you know, Brazil really has its pick of the litter of critical mineral opportunity. And that can include vanadium, you know, copper, nickel, tin, rare earths, lithium, copper. I mean, yeah, the list goes on. So real pick of the litter in terms of metal diversity. Another huge advantage of the country is that 85% of its electricity grid is supplied by renewables, with most of that coming from hydropower. So I think particularly for these critical minerals, firstly, you're going to see projects that obtain their power their electricity through clean means, have much better ESG profiles, and will additionally start to see premium pricing for projects that are able to produce their metals without consuming diesel. Other advantages to Brazil would also be its, you know, strong relationships with both the East and the West. While I was in country, BYD announced that it was, you know, the large Chinese automaker, that it was building its first EV factory outside of Asia, right in Brazil, and planned to source at least the graphite and the iron phosphate from within country. And then, of course, Brazil is one of the U.S.'s, you know, key allies in the region. Just look at the countries that the U.S. has swap line agreements with. And, you know, it's kind of the who's who of our allies between Canada and Australia, EU, Japan. Brazil is on that list. So it's a little bit of a difficult balancing act, but as of now, they've done it well. So again, great place to invest for these reasons. But you have to be in the right place and you have to be investing with the right people.
All right. Matt, always great chatting with you. Thank you for updating us on your site visits and more of a focus in the royalty market because, look, some of these stocks, especially the bigger ones, have done well, and at least we've seen slightly fewer companies after that, more consolidation. Matt, thank you very much for your time on this weekend show. Everybody, thanks for tuning in this weekend. As always, keep in touch with us through email and go back through our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report, to listen to all our daily editorials covering markets and key company updates. Matt, everyone tuning in, we hope you all have a great rest of your week.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from?
Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.